We're in session.
No.
We didn't. From our closed session discussions, board directed staff refer to the Attorney General's Office for Prosecution and Superior Court violations of regional board orders.
In the matter of Occidental,
yeah. Item 13D on our closed session list. All right, we're going to start on agenda item 6. I'll read hearing procedures. This is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of a cease and desist order in the matter of Great Community Services District Wastewater Treatment Facility. This item has been properly noticed. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Thank you. We'll begin with Kathy Goodman, staff. And the board member should have a PowerPoint for item 6.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for the presentation to come up on the overhead.
Technical difficulties.
Do I need a picture?
See, that's what happens. Massey leaves us, and you know we have technical problems.
Okay, here we go. So, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm Kathy Goodwin, staff to the regional board, and I'm here to give the staff presentation for the proposed cease and desist order for the Grayton CSD wastewater treatment facility. This is the first proposed cease and desist order for this facility. I'd like to enter the file into the record and introduce the agenda package for you. The agenda package consists of the staff report in green, the proposed cease and desist order in yellow, a response to comments document in purple, and then comment letters and our response to those letters follow in various colors.
He's coming.
Okay. It's the bottom button. Okay. So Grayton is located about 10 miles west of Santa Rosa, as shown here on the map with the green star. Grayton discharges to Atascadero Creek, which is tributary to Green Valley Creek and thence to the Russian River, and the creek runs in a northerly direction and enters the Russian River somewhere between Mirabelle Heights and Forest Hills, as shown on this map, and the river flows towards the ocean in that manner. Okay. This aerial will orient you with regard to Grayton and the components of its wastewater system. We've got the North Arrow here. We've got Highway 116 running from Sebastopol out towards Forestville here. The slide shows the northwestern portion of Grayton down here in the lower right-hand corner, the treatment plant here. I've also shown Forestville's wastewater treatment facility at the top of the slide. In the wintertime, Grayton can discharge to Atascadero Creek at its discharge point, which is about right here. During the dry weather season, Grayton sends its recycled water to various recycled water parcels, as well as to the Forestville Wastewater Treatment Facility via an existing pipeline. At Forestville, the secondary treated effluent receives additional treatment, and Forestville Water District uses that water to supply its irrigation demands on urban parcels in the Forestville area. Here we have a closer view of the wastewater treatment facility. The headworks is located about here, and it provides influent flow monitoring and solids removal. Secondary treatment is provided through these two aeration ponds, followed by settling. And then the treated water is pumped through a pipeline to the chlorine contact chamber, which is right here, and then directed into one of two large effluent storage ponds. From the storage ponds, Grayton can either send the water to the irrigation parcels or to Forestville Water District. I'll also point out that the treatment facility is constructed in a floodplain. It's surrounded by this marsh, and then Atascadero Creek, again, runs in a northerly direction along here. And I've got this upside down. The north arrow points that way. It was the easiest way to show the marsh in this photo. I should also point out that because the facility is located in a floodplain, these ponds here are surrounded by a berm to provide some flood protection to the facility. So Grayton CSD acquired this wastewater treatment facility in July of 2004. 3 months later, the board adopted waste discharge requirements, which also serve as an NPDES permit for the facility. Like all other facilities in the Russian River Basin, Grayton is required to have advanced wastewater treatment at the facility. This is also referred to tertiary treatment. In my presentation, you'll hear me refer to it as AWT, which stands for Advanced Wastewater Treatment. And that is an additional filtration step in addition to the aeration, which provides biological treatment. The filtration process allows for further removal of biochemical oxygen demand and total suspended solids. And Grayton is one of two facilities in the Russian River Basin that has yet to achieve AWT. Occidental is the other facility. The waste discharge requirements require Grayton to achieve AWT by October 2007, which has passed. So it gave them 3 years to achieve that requirement. In addition, the requirements include a compliance schedule for priority pollutant compliance, and that is also tied to completion of the advanced wastewater treatment facility. Grayton CSD has worked diligently at improving the wastewater treatment facility and toward compliance with its WDRs. Numerous projects have been completed, and I've mentioned some of those on the slide, including 100% design of its AWT project. In late 2005, or into early 2006, flooding rains caused the entire wastewater treatment facility to flood. The existing berms around the facility were inadequate to contain the floodwaters that flowed in through the adjacent marsh and Atascadero Creek. That event highlighted the need for Grayton to provide additional flood protection to the facility, and Grayton began seeking funding through the Federal Emergency Management Agency, otherwise known as FEMA. The sediment removal project has actually been completed with money that they received from FEMA, and they're still working with FEMA in hopes of receiving money to increase the height of their berms by constructing a flood wall. Let's see. Okay, so the permit, as I mentioned, required Grayton to achieve advanced wastewater treatment by October 2007, and they were unable to meet that requirement. And as a result, they've also been unable to comply with the stricter AWT limits for biologic or biochemical oxygen demand and total suspended solids. So thus, this really points out how urgent it is for Grayton to complete its AWT project. I wanted to throw these next two slides in so that you could get an idea of what a facility like this looks like under flood conditions. This picture was taken on January 4th, 2006. That area that I showed previously with the three ponds totally flooded, and the ability of the Grayton to treat their water was temporarily disabled. I'd like to point out this handrail and this orange light green for comparison in the next slide. This slide was taken from approximately the same location as the previous one. It was taken in January of 2008. Again, I point out the handrail and the orange light ring. It shows some of the work that Grayton did subsequent to the floods to provide some interim protection to the berms and the treatment plant while they're trying to seek funding to do the flood wall project. So they installed the sandbags to effectively increase the height of the berm, and these go all the way around. And they added this black visqueen to protect the berms. So now I'd like to discuss the proposed cease and desist order. And it recommends giving Grayton CSD additional time to complete its AWT upgrade project. In addition, the order would require Grayton to meet BOD and total suspended solids limits based on the secondary effluent limits that are in their current permit. The order would require completion of the AWT project by August 2010. In addition, it would require Grayton to submit a pollution prevention plan by this February. That would be a plan that would ensure that they are doing everything they can to protect water quality in the interim period of time. They would also be required to submit semi-annual progress reports on the status of the project and their ability to obtain project funding. In addition, they would need to report each reporting period on one education outreach project that they've done to improve water quality. So their biggest hurdles right now are that they need funding to complete the flood wall project, which is necessary because the new tertiary equipment would go right down in that area that flooded in 2006. They also need funding to purchase the components of their treatment system and get those installed. If Grayton is unable to overcome the financial hurdles in the short term, the proposed CDO proposes allowing the EO to give them an additional 2 years to complete their AWT project. That would potentially give them until August 2012 to complete that project. In order to get that approval, though, they would need to demonstrate that they have done everything possible to obtain funding to complete the project. Staff recommends a CDO for this facility at this time because Grayton has made good progress towards its AWT project, as evidenced by the fact that they have actually selected and fully designed their project. So there were two comment letters received on this proposed cease and desist order. One of those letters came from the discharger. The other one came from the same interested party that commented on Ferndale. So very briefly, actually none of the comments responded in changes to the cease and desist order. Comments received from the discharger primarily requested time to address the board today. The comments from the interested party had to do with CEQA and that whole issue relating to hazardous waste and new construction. And that discharger actually submitted a letter on November 17th stating that his concerns no longer applied to this facility because the cease and desist order itself does not require construction. It only extends the time for Grayton to do its upgrade project. And I believe those letters were passed out to you just at the beginning of this hearing. Okay, this is my last slide. And staff recommends that the board continue to work with Grayton as they seek to obtain funding and as they take measures to improve effluent quality. And that you would do that by adopting the proposed cease and desist order, which extends the schedule for completion of their AWT upgrade project. And that concludes my presentation.
Great. Thank you,
Kathy. Kathy, I just have one clarification. You had said that the letters didn't result in any changes to the CDO.
Right.
I think there were some changes that were proposed to the findings. In response
to... Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Actually, yes. Yes, we did change one finding to clarify the CEQA issue. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Any board member questions of staff? All right. Representative discharger.
Jay.
Do I need to sit down? Excellent.
Do I join you?
Yes, I will. I just want to make sure the slide.
Chair, I would appreciate any public speakers if you have to fill out a card and hand it to the clerk so we can, if there are any.
Would you like us to fill out the cards?
No, it's not necessary. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jane Eagle, and I'm a member of the Board of Directors for the Grayton Community Services District. But more importantly, I am a Grayton ratepayer, and I'm speaking for the 650 ratepayers in the Grayton District. And I would like to ask at this moment that anyone who's in attendance from Grayton, please stand up. We're a concerned community. These are the folks who could take the day off of work and be here with us. I just wanted to say, our wastewater plant was built in 1976 in a wetland, as Kathy pointed out. We have a creek that runs between some of our treatment plants, and our property is immediately adjacent to Atascadero Creek. So, since 1976, our plant has had virtually no maintenance at all until we took control 4 years ago. In that short time, we've made repairs. We've upgraded, we've cleaned up, we've done loads of work recovering from the New Year's flood of 2006 when our wastewater treatment plant was briefly known as Lake Atascadero. And we have done everything possible to get ready to implement our capital improvements plan project. We had planned to have it completed by now, but constantly changing directives from the state and federal levels have kept us redesigning components of our plan. More and more stringent upgrades are required, but they don't come with funding. At this point in time, we have a completed and approved design plan. We have the building permits to do the work, and we have a contract with our builder to begin the work as soon as we have enough funding, which the board, the general manager, and our district engineer are aggressively pursuing. Our district has been requesting a time extension from the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board to meet current standards for discharging some of our treated wastewater. We have submitted several requests since the spring of 2007. Due to the severe understaffing of the regional board, we still haven't gotten an answer, and this becomes a large problem for Grayton for several reasons. Excuse me. We're a low-income district, and we currently have the highest sewer rates in the county. Since our requests for a time extension have not yet been approved, we are possibly incurring mandatory fines for non-compliance when we're doing everything humanly possible to comply. Although we have only a secondary treatment plant, we missed tertiary standards only a few days last winter and by a very small margin. And frankly, this is a sore point for the ratepayers. We have to borrow millions of dollars that we can barely afford to improve our discharge by a tiny amount. Therefore, Grayton requests that when this extension is approved, that it be retroactive to our initial written request from the spring of 2007. The Grayton Community Services District is an all-volunteer board. None of us have ever been paid a penny for all the work that we do and all the time that we put in. We have received and spent all available funds, both local and state, on the aforementioned repairs, design, permits, and fines. And although I know that fines are not part of this agenda, they are a major expenditure for our tiny low-income district. If additional fines are to be levied against the Grayton CSD, then these monies can only come out of our funds for our capital improvements project, which keeps pushing our ability to comply with discharge standards farther into the future. Therefore, we request that if there are to be any fines against the Grayton Community Services District, that they be applied towards components of our capital improvements project. If that is not done, then figure for every $10,000 we get fined, we need another year added to our time extension for compliance, because that's the only place the money comes from. Our community is so strapped and overwhelmed at this point in time that there's been discussion of paying fines in lieu of upgrading the plant, because it would probably cost us less money. Not that we're going to do that. There's also been discussion of decommissioning the plant because that seems to be the source of being fined. Most of West Sonoma County has no wastewater treatment and they're on failing septics, and these people aren't being fined, nor do they have to pay more than $1,300 a year that we all pay as ratepayers. Essentially, we're starting to feel like we're being fined because we went to the expense of building a wastewater treatment facility and we're trying to do the right thing. And we don't really feel that that's equal treatment under the law. So, to reiterate, Grayton had planned to have completed our capital improvements project by now, but constantly changing directives on state and federal levels have kept us redesigning parts of our plan. More upgrades are required, but they don't come with the funding. And we do have a completed design plan, building permits, and a contract to build. We were also recently informed that the Grayton CSD now needs to buy a lot of expensive new monitoring equipment for new proposed chlorine regulations, which call for lower detection limits, such that we are going to be required to meet a one-hour average chlorine of 0.019 milligrams per liter and a four-day mean concentrations of 0.011 milligrams per liter. This expense is not within our budget. Funds for that will come out of our capital improvements project funds. We are attempting to increase our rate base. However, as I'm sure you know, this means adding ratepayers through additional connections. Our plant upgrades will allow us to accomplish this. However, since those upgrades are not yet done, Grayton welcomes a CDO. Every time we are approached for a connection permit, we're in the position of needing the money, but fearing that any additional connections may cause us to exceed our discharge requirements and incur fines. Grayton desperately needs your help, and we're grateful to the staff and the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board for that help. Our general manager, Bob Rawson, will now fill you in on the more specific accomplishments and constraints.
Hi, my name is Bob Rawson, general manager, as Jane said, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today before you, and I'd really like to thank the staff of the regional board for working with Grayton and proposing this cease and desist order in the fashion that they have. It's been a very good communication between staff and ourselves. The district obtained local control in 2004, And when we did obtain that control from some kind of water agency, the facility was in a complete state of disrepair, and it lacked any viable plan or evidence of a viable method of compliance with the basin plan or funding to do so. The first years of the district were spent hiring staff, seeking and securing funding, developing and refining a capital improvements plan, conducting environmental studies, replacing pumps and equipment, and I mean every single pump in the system was replaced. Mapping the collection system, developing protective ordnance for our sewer, improving our irrigation capacity, working with our irrigators in the area, and planting acres of redwood trees. As Kathy mentioned, we had a flood on New Year's Eve a few years back, and that's what the facilities look like. You can see the aerators floating in a lake. Underneath that lake is our secondary treatment facilities, and there's a pump in the foregrounds. Would you show some of the other slides up there, please? The fat guy there is me. You can see we had quite a mess on our hands in this picture. Would you show the next slide, please? And that's the location for our tertiary treatment facilities. Right, a little bit to the left, we intend to build a SAF and fuzzy filter tertiary facilities and a chlorine contact chamber. But as you can see, it would not be prudent to build it and let it be flooded again as it is here. That's our building to the right. And it had 9 inches of water on the outside just a few hours prior to this picture being taken. So FEMA considered this a 13-year recurring flood event. And this has happened, in my experience, 4 or 5 times in the past. The damage was extensive. We applied and obtained FEMA funding assistance to repair most of the flood damage, with the exception of the berms, which that's still pending. The ponds were 40% filled with solids. So our aeration, our treatment ponds were about 40% filled with solids. This project was a massive undertaking that required permits, public process, road construction, and significant district resources. We had oak trees that we had to build the roads around and things like this in order to remove that solids from that pond. And this was the first maintenance that had been performed on these ponds in 30 years. So, Graydon did make big strides forward in trying to correct sins of the past. Graydon has a plan in place that will achieve full compliance with the basin plan that can be achieved within the timetable that has been proposed by your staff and agreed to by our board of directors. We have raised our rates each year to accumulate the funds needed to bring about compliance. And they are now at $1,333 per year, which is among the highest in the entire basin. I know that Ferndale was something like $792. We have a qualified and accepted bidder for construction, and the facilities will be constructed within a 4-foot high flood wall, hopefully paid for by FEMA. The design consists of reliable and forward-looking technology that maximizes the value of our existing treatment pond structure and minimizes energy use and complies with Title 22 reuse. We're working with our agricultural neighbors, and they are very satisfied with the quality of water that Grain supplies them now. In fact, it's in high demand. We're also shipping water to our neighbors, Forestville, and they've taken millions of gallons this year. We have set sewer connection fees at the highest legally justifiable level and put in place a moratorium limiting connections until we are in full compliance with the basin plan. We're trying to hold connections at approximately 80 ESDs per year until we're able to construct a capital project that will give us AWT. There are a number of hurdles that Grayton must overcome before we can construct the tertiary treatment facilities and be in full compliance. We need to complete construction of the flood wall, before we can build a capital improvements project, as you can see in that location. We're getting support from the state, the governor's office, Office of Emergency Services is in full support of our FEMA application, and Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey as well. We need to refinance our debt and obtain additional funds, so we're applying to the State Revolving Fund for those additional funds. We have completed many of these hurdles. We've applied for and received approval and some of the funding from the Proposition 50 process, and we've used that money to purchase part of our capital improvements project, our SAF filters. We bought it before the steel prices rose. We have applied for and received FEMA funding and completed the pond dredging and the pump repairs I described. We have applied for Proposition 84 funds to expand reuse capacity in the area. We tested our capital improvements project design at full scale, certified design, and selected the bidder. We have purchased the suspended air flotation components, as I described. I think there's a little over $500,000 there. We're in the process of completing the remaining hurdles in a logical and methodical way. And these include obtaining the FEMA funds and constructing the flood wall in preparation for the capital improvements. And we are in the process of applying for the state revolving funds, which require that we complete environmental studies, which we have done, CEQA Plus, and income surveys. So we have shown due diligence in improving compliance. Our staff has taken a secondary pond treatment system and is operating it to produce water with numeric values that are very close to tertiary values most of the time. And the improvements are very noticeable. We will be able to complete the necessary work, in our opinion. There are some hurdles, of course. The economy of California and the world is a concern. Credit markets are a concern. There's lots of uncertainties. And that's one of the reasons we sought to have as long a timetable as possible. Not because we want to drag our feet, but because we believe that there could be unforeseen issues that will slow us down, and we don't want to be back here in front of the board asking for more time in the future. So I really appreciate the regional board staff and the board offering us a cease and desist order that we can live with. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Mr. Norton.
Jim and Bob, I can appreciate what you inherited. I can appreciate the challenges operating in a small community district. At the same time, as a board, we're required to have compliance. And there is an issue of compliance here. And in fact, there's two time frames to bring the site into compliance under the CDO, the second being up to 5 years. I can also appreciate the economic challenges of the state and federal government, and that I see the compliance issue as somewhat being circular because you're unwilling, or maybe not unwilling, but you're unable to put in tertiary treated equipment because the flood wall is not in. And from that standpoint, I can see that. But at the same time, what is the contingency if funding does not come because you are ultimately responsible for this plant and the permit requirements for the plant?
Well, it's a good question, and that's why we wanted the additional time, because there are other loan sources and other options available that are not as palatable to the district. For example, USDA funding and such. And, of course, raising rates, but I'm sure that I say that and I have a lot of people behind me that would probably say no. But the district would like as long a period of time as possible to be able to have contingency plans developed for the event that we do not obtain federal funds from FEMA. It's unlikely because the state has recommended, and we have pretty good assurances from FEMA that they will, in fact, certify our project. It's a good project and it's well designed. So we believe that we're going to get the funding to do the the flood wall. And that is the linchpin, because the cost of the flood wall really pushes our project up significantly. We might be able to redesign our project and elevate everything around the tertiary components. Of course, that would leave the secondary components still vulnerable. And so,
at the same time, you're at design. You've got 100% design now.
We are ready to build. We're ready to build it. In fact, as I think the governor said, that you know, we have projects in the, ready to put the shovel to, and we're one of them. And I think we're going to get the funding that we requested. Yeah, we have also applied, as I said, for Prop 84 funds. Those are going to have some peripheral value to this project, because they will allow for a connection of a large industrial user to our system, which will bring in significantly more revenues. So we're looking at other revenue streams besides plus resale of water and such.
Can I ask you to be bold a little bit and speculate on the funding? And are you going to meet in this CDO, if we accept a staff recommendation and accept the CDO, could you speculate whether you could meet the first time schedule order in this CDO?
I'm almost 90% certain that we'll meet the first. But that 10% makes me feel very uncomfortable to leave the district almost there. Another, say the district were 6 months behind that, and then being vulnerable to fines and other things that, you know, would come about from that. We are also seeking to maximize our discharges to reuse or sales and a lot of our water is able to go to Forestville, or is desired by Forestville in the summer months. So we've operated our ponds at the lowest possible levels so that we can hold back as much water in the winter, but nobody can count on the weather. But to answer your question, I believe that we're very likely to be able to achieve the first hurdle, but not 100% certain that we can.
Can you also expand a little bit on the relationship in the transfer of water between Greaton and Forestville, and under what conditions that's allowed or that's done?
Forestville and Greaton have a very good relationship, actually, and the irrigation users in Forestville have the youth park and the high school, and some of the vineyards on the other side of Ross Station Road use Forestville water, which originated from Greaton this year in large quantities. They were most of the summer taking our water. In fact, along with Kendall Jackson, some of the other vineyards took millions of gallons of water this summer.
So then I'll come back to my question again. If the funding doesn't come through for a FEMA wall and advanced waste treatment, does Forestville give you any options? Has that been considered?
It has been considered very closely, actually. The problem with Forestville taking all of our water in the wettest years means they have to build the same kinds of facilities we do. And they're not going to do that without charging us the same kinds of money. So we've already expended millions of dollars, well over $1 million, I should say, in design and development of our capital improvements project, which would be money down the drain. And we purchased part of that equipment, which would again be money down the drain. So it'd be hard to back up from that place and see it being less expensive. The Forestville has membrane filtration and a single pipeline, so it makes a log jam certain times of the year. Usually those times of year are going to be those worst wet weather scenario pictures when we're transferring water, they're going to be needing to move water. And so I would anticipate more pipeline construction under that scenario as well. So I see it as an emergency option, but not a good one. Because we keep it there for that purpose, though.
Okay. Fair enough. Under the CDO, it puts a time schedule that by February 2009, which is 2 months from now, that you would submit a pollution prevention plan. Is that doable?
that's pretty tight schedule. I was looking at and sweating at myself because I'd have to be looking at my district engineer to assist me with that. And I don't know.
He's well qualified.
But he's getting stooped in the shoulder from the work we're putting on his back here. So he would be assisting me to do it, and I almost have to look at him. What do you think? Is that a tight schedule?
That's a little tight, especially considering that we're working on the funding. We have an appointment.
Be on the tape here if you're going to make extended comment.
This is Pete Lesker Engineers. I'm the district engineer for Graydon. I think February might be a little bit tight because we are working on the funding. We're trying to complete the report of waste discharge that was due last month, and which is pretty well done. And we have a project report to write for the funding application, and Bob and I have an appointment in Sacramento January 9th, 10 a.m. with the Finance Division of the State Board. So having that and then having to polish off that clean water grant application, I would say we should probably pay attention to that more than we should pay attention to the pollution plan. So I think a little more time would be useful.
I always appreciate more time.
I'm not opposed to the time in the CDO. I'm just, the mandate, though, is compliance here. And it's on you. Unfortunately, it's on you. And I feel for you from the standpoint of cost. I really do, and funding. It's got to be very difficult. And I can appreciate that. So, being out of compliance with the basin plan prohibitions, and then having, what I see to be suspended solids and BOD effluent problems, which to me are secondary problems, it's going to be difficult. But I think from the standpoint of the time order that's in the cease and desist order, the first one I can live with, going out 5 years, I think is a problem. And I think from the standpoint of having a backup plan, I don't think more time is a backup plan necessarily.
Can I say something?
Yeah, but let me just respond to Jane on that one thing. This February 2nd or 2/09 time frame, I don't even think we'll be discharging by February at the rate our ponds, the level of our ponds and such. But we may have a discharge by the end of the year depending on the weather scenario we get. It would be useful to get an extra month on that, if that's a possibility. If not, we'll jump through hoops and try to make it happen.
Thanks.
Well, I just want to dovetail with Mr. Noren's comments on contingency planning. I think this is only going to help strengthen your argument with FEMA right now. Is that we're talking about a flood event to create Lake Atascadero is estimated a 13-year event, but you've also seen that occur in the last four or five times in the last few years. It's a fairly frequent event that is wreaking havoc on your facility, and so that alone should probably be the cornerstone of your argument with FEMA. We don't know what's going to happen this winter. We've been blessed with some pretty dry weather, but I think it's changing as of tomorrow. And so, I don't need to tell you how what the risk that's involved in that. And so I think that if anything that can, that can really help strengthen your argument for the FEMA funding, that should really be, it's a risky situation right now. And like David said, the compliance is on you, so.
We definitely held our breath this winter. You want to say something?
Yes, I did want to say something.
What I wanted to say is that in terms of compliance, if Graydon had the money, we want to be in compliance yesterday. We're not asking for more time so that we can drag our feet. We want to get this done as fast as possible because aside from the financial concerns, Graydon is really a bastion of environmental nuts like myself who want to do the right thing. We want clean water. We want to protect our aquifers. We want to protect our watershed. We want this done. We're not asking for more time to drag our feet. We're asking for more time because we're concerned about getting funding, which is the entire holdup at this point. And if for some unforeseen reason we don't get the FEMA funds to enhance our flood protection, then we're just going to have to pay for that. But it's all a question of time. Time is money, and money is time. So if you gave us another 10 years and we could complete the project this year, we'd do it this year because we want it done. So you know, don't think if you grant us more time that we're looking for ways to drag our feet, because we're not. We want it done.
If I may then follow on that one in terms of what time, it's not clear to me as to what time you're asking for an extension.
Oh, the regional board's cease and desist order has two timetables there, but we were in our last conversation talking about getting the compliance letter, I believe it was, what was that terminology? Pollution prevention plan in place and an extra month, and that would be useful. Is that what you were talking about, Bob?
You're I believe it's the February 1st.
And
the February 1st date. If that were March 1st, that might be a little easier on us. I think that extra month would be useful.
Okay. We'll leave that hanging out there at the moment. But any other board member questions? The discharger? Do we have any other folks who want to speak to the board? I don't have any cards.
This is Pete Lesker, the district engineer again. I want to fill in some explicit dates. I just dropped one a moment ago. Bob and I are due with the finance division of the state board January 9th, 10 a.m. with Mr. Wayne Lee to look over our draft project report and the applications and all that. And then, so that's one funding source, and they seem very eager to give us that money if they have it. And I sent an email to our Senator Barbara Boxer the other day and says, hey, infrastructure equals economic stimulus. Just make sure the revolving fund is full. Make sure the California OES funds are full. That's all we ask, nothing more. Anyway, the other funding source is FEMA, of course. And we got denied on our initial application. We got a denial of our first appeal. And we said before we're going back and submit another piece of paper, we have to have some FaceTime with the FEMA folks so we get some real understanding here. We got one of the FEMA people out of Oakland came up and talked to us. And he already had in his hand, before he even talked to us, he had an internal email that he had written, said, what's with the denials? The analyses are flawed. This is a perfect project. We will support it. So we polished off our second appeal with his great assistance with the State Office of Emergency Services Great Assistance. State Office filed their letter with FEMA November 21. FEMA has 90 days to respond. We're expecting a response February 21, and we're very optimistically expecting a positive response because that's what the state said. But as Mr. Hales said, this is the crux of it all. Get her fixed, you know. So I'm very optimistic about that. I think FEMA's going to come through. It's a perfect place. It's shovel ready, as our governor says. And the state board we're actually ahead of them. We've got a contractor waiting in the wings, and all of you know probably something about the revolving fund process. We're kind of like out of sync with them, but they're okay with that. So we'll just find a way to make it work. You just show us that you did this honestly and cost effectively and all that business, which is the gist of their process, is to make sure you're doing things properly and ethically, and we have. So we're gonna demonstrate that to them via our project report, and we expect to get the funds. And we have KG Walters waiting in the wings to start construction as soon as the dirt's dry in April or May. So if I can fill in any, my point is I want to reassure you that. That we have, we're on it, and I think we're, you know, I can speak all I want, but I feel very positive. I think there's some good specifics to say that we will get that funding. If there are any further questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. Anyone else? Wants? All right. We will see if staff have any comments to the change of the February 1 to a March 1 date?
That's perfectly acceptable. I think Ms. Niemeyer wants to be sure that the record, the letter from Mr. Berry is taken care of.
Do
Just to clarify, though, staff is amending the staff report, or is it going to require a motion?
It'll need to be part of the motion. Not the staff report, it's
okay, that's so part of the order. Okay, we do have a November 17th letter from Ken Berry.
It was essentially withdrawing his criticism regarding the use of the CEQA exemption. It's up to the chair in your discretion to include it because it did come in after the date, but it was in response to our original comments. So my recommendation would be to include it.
And that would be, chair will include it in the record. That would be fine. And then deal with the order itself. We have one date change. There may be a change in new places. Would that be correct on the page 10?
That sounds correct.
Or
that's it. It's in those two separate time schedules.
Okay. Yes, B.
Yeah. And I mean, my sense of the timing requirements, otherwise, the tighter the time frames actually help encourage other agencies to move more expeditiously to the solution you're seeking. So, with that, any other board comments?
I'll make a motion that we approve the cease and desist order number R1-2008-01. 09 with the amendment to the therefore it is ordered portion on number 2B, page 10, and also 3B on page 10, and change those to March 1st, 2009 in each case.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you everybody for turning out. And we're going to push on to the slam.